Now, as you can recall, a few weeks ago, I wrote a youth forum about being an example to people that we may have direct or indirect contact with, either coworkers or clients. But this shouldn't be limited just to people we work with, but this could also include brethren, family, and others we may not even know. So how do we associate with others around us? How do we act? What do we say? And what should we say at any given moment when put on the spot, either good or bad? So what I want to do is further elaborate with what I started a few weeks ago in my youth forum about how we can actually be better examples by what we say and how we say it. Oftentimes, we may say things that we shouldn't even have said, and after we have said some of the things, we either regret ever having saying it in the first place, or we wish we could take it back and rephrase what we intended to say. So the important thing we should have done is that we should have thought before we acted. That's what it pretty much boils down to. Why am I speaking in such a way as if we have all done this before? Well, because we have. And I am sure that each and every one of you listening today, including me, can think of at least one episode, if not more, where this has happened. It could have happened this morning, and it's fresh in our minds. And now you get to hear it from me. Many times we don't think before we act, because we think that we don't have the time to do that before we open our mouths. Now, when in the heat of the moment, we will often say the first thing that comes into our mind, which could possibly be the worst thing that we could say, especially when we have never meant to say it in the first place. So, how would we actually find the time to think about what we are going to say right before we say it? I'm not suggesting that we stand there with a blank look on our face while we think how to respond when we have a question thrown at us, like that certain TV show, The Wonder Years, where the kid just stood there forever thinking about what he's saying, and the whole time his conscience is speaking and is doing all the talking and never said one word. Now, we don't want to do that. That's pretty embarrassing. So that's not what I'm suggesting. But what I want to do today is do something different. I want to do a more personal approach that involves each and every one of us, everybody that's listening today. So let us imagine that we are in a situation where what we say and how we say it is very important so that we do it correctly. The person we are talking to can be anybody, like somebody at work, a family member, a church member, your mate, a close friend, a judge, a teacher, perhaps somebody you have just met, or somebody you don't even know. We're going to leave that to your imagination. So here we are, and we have just been told something that we don't like, or we don't agree with. Something that could certainly provoke us to anger. So what do we do here? What do we say, and how should we react? I'm going to start by turning to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In fact, I'm going to be going to the book of Proverbs a lot today in the sermonette. Because there's definitely interesting statements in this book, like verse 19 of chapter 10. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. And also in chapter 17, verses 27 and 28, he who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Silence is golden. If we don't say anything that doesn't need a response, then there is no harm done with our lips. Let the imagination go to the other side. Let the assumptions come in from the other side. But they can never blame you for anything that you did not say. Now, on the flip side, we do need to respond. So whoever we are associating with here demands an answer. So what we say here is important because we should never try to hurt anyone with our words. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22 tells us that we should not say, "I will recompense or repay evil." It's kind of like saying, "I'm going to get you back for this. I will have my revenge." This is also something that could be considered backbiting. And I want to turn to Psalms chapter 15. Psalms chapter 15, verse 1 through 3. "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor is evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up reproach or personal attack against his friend." Now, oftentimes when you're associating with someone, let's say someone at work, you know, especially in my job, there is a lot of backbiting. But a lot of times, I mean, everybody knows each other there, and it's never an intention to harm anybody. But that time could come where that could be a serious problem by anybody we associate with. Because when we backbite, usually at this point, we are angry. And it is important that we control our anger, because if we don't, it could get worse. So what do we do to avoid that from happening? I want to go to the New Testament for this one, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing." So at this point, it's already been getting a little heated, and we probably should have done it differently at the beginning. Remember, again, we're associating with somebody. But it's too late for that. We're already well into the conversation argument, have as you may. However, it's not too late to calm down and think about what we are going to say next in this conversation or argument, however you look at it. We should always think before we speak in every given moment, because like I said already, we often regret having said something when we didn't mean it. I want to turn back to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28. "The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil." James 1 and 19, James chapter 1, verse 19, tells us that we should be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. But many times we're not swift to hear, but quite the opposite when it comes to speaking and wrath. We have to learn to listen more. Just like as you are doing now, and as we're going to do in the following message after this. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I'm doing a lot of scriptures, as you can see, in this sermonette, because I'm hoping to take some of my stats. So, I'm sure he has a lot of backups. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. "Walk prudently when you go to the house of God, and draw near to hear rather than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they do evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your hearts utter anything hastily before God, for God is in heaven and you on earth. Therefore let your words be few, for a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by his many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin, nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at your excuse and destroy the work of your hands? Verse 7, for in the multitude of dreams and many words, there is also vanity. But fear God. You know, we should never promise something that we don't keep. Because then people are going to be very unreliable or towards you if you do that. So we don't want to do that. We want to keep our promise. If we say we're going to do something, better make sure we do it. Now, what if we have been told something about somebody else? First of all, if it does not concern us, it is none of our business. But we should also distinguish between what is a rumor and what is a truth. Oftentimes, things are said to hurt others because of one may not like what the other is doing. And that could be several reasons, like jealousy, envy, and others. So what we don't want to do is pass on harmful info from others to others. And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27, we read, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. And skip over to chapter 17, verse 9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Bringing up history, bringing up something that was in the past, something that should be forgotten about. So I don't want to bring that up again. And at the same time, we must be careful that we don't judge, because that is not our doing, but God's. And we read about that in James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, which I'm not going to go to. You can go to that later. However, it is not wrong to judge righteously. In John 7, 24, it does tell us that we shouldn't judge according to appearance, but that we should judge righteously. And at the same time, we are to be merciful, just as God is merciful. And James 2, 13 tells us that mercy triumphs over judgment, because many times judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Anytime we do say something, no matter what it is, no matter what the situation is, we have to be honest at all times. And we already know that the truth can hurt, because sometimes the other person may not like what they're hearing, even if what they're hearing is correct. Remember who it is that we have to please the most. Not the individual we're talking to, but in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. It is God that we have to please at all times. God is the only one who knows whether we are lying or not. However, sooner or later, the other person will find out if we aren't telling the truth. And that's called reaping what we sow. Of course, for the sake of argument, or even in general, we have to be careful in what we say and how we say it. Please turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. But now yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is during our baptism, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And skip over to 17, verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We have to converse with one another as God wants us to. And if we do that, as hard as it is, and many times, we will also prove to others that we are shining examples. How we tame our tongue, and I'm sorry, I should have said that in the beginning, that is the title of the sermonette, to tame our tongue. So how we tame our tongue is very important, and it should be taken seriously. And if we apply these principles that we have heard today, the next time we are in a situation such as this, with whomever it may be, what we say, how we say it, how we listen, and how we act will determine a positive outcome. Just how powerful is our tongue? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 states, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit."